Hi. Good evening. Welcome to church. Thanks for showing up. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We have a very good pastor friend that we ministered with for a time, and he had this saying that it was actually written on the side of the church wall that says, "I like church." And yeah, that was kind of our slogan. We like church. Yeah, maybe that might have to be what it is. Would you stand if you're able, and let's just invite the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, make us addicted to church and to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that we can gather in your name, Lord. Lord, thank you that you care about every detail. Thank you that you love your people. You love us and you care for us so much. Lord, I pray that tonight you would just be glorified in all that we do, all that is said, every word that is said, every song that is sung. God, that you would direct every detail, Lord. That you would have your way, Lord. Your anointing in this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask that you have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Stop kicking my mic into my face. That would be good. I just put my foot down and then just kind of moved my mic forward. That's all right. I have other teeth. It's fine.
Well, coming to His presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give Him praise and give Him praise. Oh, coming to His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is
gotta kick the stand in the leg where it belongs. Well, sometimes I felt like doing that, but but I don't usually do it. Hallelujah. Were you able to find "It Is the Cry of My Heart"? Look up "it." Yeah, I'll try it. I'm gonna help you with some of the words, okay? First of all, it says, "It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. Hallelujah. All the days of my life." I'll help you, okay? "It is the cry right here. It is the cry of my heart to follow.
It is the cry to be close.
It is the cry of my heart to be close to
it is the cry.
It is the cry of my heart to follow.
All the days,
all of the days of my life.
It is the cry of my heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow.
It is the cry of my heart to be close.
To be close to
it is
the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
All of the days of my life.
All of the days of my life.
Teach me your holy ways.
Teach me your holy ways, O Lord.
So I can walk in the truth.
So I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways. Devoted to you.
It is the cry of my heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow
to
you.
Be close.
It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
All of the days of my life.
All of the days of my life.
Open my eyes so I can see.
Open my eyes so I can
see. The wonderful
see.
Things you do.
The wonderful things that you do.
Open my heart up more and more.
Open my heart up more and more.
Make me wholly devoted.
And make me wholly devoted to you.
Yes, it is the cry.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart.
Thank you.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to
bow down.
Here I am to
say that you're my God.
You're all together
lovely.
All together
worthy.
All together
wonderful to
me. You just tell him what he means to you. Lord, you're wonderful. I love you, Lord. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. How great you are. Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Here I am to worship. Here. Continue to worship with the offering here in just a moment.
Father, we thank you for those words, wherever they went. Just here I am to say that you're my God. And we want to proclaim that this evening. You are our God. Thank you for that, Jesus. We need to have our ushers come forth. Lord, we thank you for being our God and our Savior. Thank you for taking us up out of the rubble and the debris, calling us your own. Setting us up in the right place. Calling us righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Tonight, Lord, we want to share your word, share your life in this place. We invite you to be here. Come and fill this place up, Lord, with your spirit. We bring our offerings to you, Lord. These fragments, Lord, we pray that you would cause them to grow and prosper and become the things that you want them to be. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If you go to our website at harvestca.org, you will see on there a giving button over on the upper right hand corner of our bar there, of the information bar. There is a give button, and if you just click on that, it'll pop up another screen, and on the left hand side it says online. little button over. It says envelope, and that's for when you get back to church, you can give the old-fashioned way if you'd like, and give in an envelope. And then over on the other side, there's another button. It's called Tithely, and that's actually an app on your phone, and you can click on that and walk through that process and be able to just give right there from your phone at any time. And for online giving, you just click on the little green button there, and it will walk you through the process of being able to give online. It's a very secure site. Everything about it is secure. You don't have to worry about your identity being stolen or any of those kinds of things. So that's up there for you to be able to give.
Stretch your hand out. Father, we thank you so much for gifting us in so many ways, Lord. And as we give back to you in this small way, Lord, we do pray that you would cause it to grow and prosper in your kingdom, and may it become the thing that you want us to be, Lord. We thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Well, here I am again, whether you wanted it or not. Tammy called me this morning about 11 and quoted some scripture about in season and out. And I thought, well, my seasons are like spring, summer, fall, winter. Not today. But I did have something on my heart. And let's just pray for a minute here. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. It's always a pleasure and an honor. And I pray that, like we've said here in the last few weeks, we want to gain and find that golden nugget in everything that you do here and apply it to our lives, Lord, that we can be better people and serve your kingdom in a better way. So we lift it up tonight, Lord, speak through me, and open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear your word. Amen. So, I don't know if we have a title, but my title is Pressing On to the Higher Calling of the Lord. And this kind of popped into my mind. I know the Lord brings it to us. Is I'm not going to talk about the elections. And I'm not going to talk about the economy. I'm not going to talk about the morals and values out there and everything else. But I do want to say, when we put our trust in that stuff, we're missing the boat. Because those things will always fail us. With this title, Pressing On. In fact, Bob Dylan has a great song about that, Pressing On to the Higher Calling of the Lord. And it's just, what I want to do tonight is encourage you to press on. Our first scripture is in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Let me get that up there. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of, but one thing I do, and this is important, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And our next scripture here is 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run, talking to us, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, you're going to have to believe me on this. But many years ago, I ran a marathon. Actually completed it. And for those of you who don't know, it's 26 miles and 385 yards. It's a long way. So 26 miles, think about that. I couldn't run 100 yards today. But back in the day, I practiced for it and everything. And I got myself in shape to do it. And I'll parallel this to where we are with our life. In order to run a marathon, you can't just show up. You can't get off the couch, go out there, put your shoes on, and run a marathon. You'll never make it. You might be able to walk it. My goal when I ran the marathon was to show up there sometime before dark. And I made it. I made it in a little bit less than 4 hours. But I didn't get to that place by just showing up and running this race. We practiced, we ran 10Ks, we ran half marathons, we did all kinds of stuff. We ate right, we exercised right. We did everything that the little book of marathon runners told us to do, and even tried to run 20 miles, which we did ahead of time, just to see if we could possibly make this thing. So we put in a lot of effort. We ate right. We managed our time right. I say we because there was three or four of us that ran it together, and that was companionship, camaraderie, that we encouraged each other that way. And that got us through this whole race because it was difficult. I don't know if you know much about it, but there's a saying that at 18 miles around there somewhere, you hit the wall. And it's at that point where you're completely out of gas. You're running on your own muscles. You're using up your own muscles at that point. There's nothing left in the tank after 18 miles. And it was at that very point with me that I planned this ahead of time. I had guys out of that I knew that would come along and run a couple miles with me. Just on the side, run a couple miles, give me some water, encourage me. They'd peel off, somebody else would come along. And that was very important for me. Just a little side note, we were running along at about 18 miles, and here comes this older lady. She is a master's runner. She came up beside us and said, "Well, how are you kids doing?" We were like 45 at the time. "How are you kids doing?" And I said, "Well, you know, whatever. Can't talk." And she said, "Well, what time do you want to go for?" And we said, "Well, about three hours and 30 minutes." And she looked at her watch and she said, "Well, you're going to have to pick the pace up if you're going to do that." And we already knew that. We knew we were off. We had our splits down what we were going to do, and we couldn't do it. And then she says, "Well, I need to get going." And there she went. We never saw her again. And here we are, 40, 45 years old, and we're in shape, and we're feeling pretty good. And this elderly lady, she was probably mid-70s, I would say, something like that. Never saw her again. But side note, that kind of encouraged us. We thought, if she can do it, we can do it. Come on, you guys. So I started thinking about this, and I've thought about this a lot, is back then I could zero in on something like this, and if my body held up, I could do it. I could climb the South Sister. I could do this marathon. I could do some other things, you know, ride my bike to California and back. I could really zero in and do those things, and I knew that I had to get in shape to do them. You don't just start to do that stuff. So let's parallel that with where we are in Christ. Because this kind of came to my mind, and I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I talked to a lot of people, and I've picked up a lot of discouragement nowadays. There's uncertainty in Washington, D.C. There's uncertainty in our finances, talking about a recession and the world's coming to an end and all the different things. And where are we in that, in this race for the crown that God has called us? Where are we? Are we sitting on the couch eating Oreos like I was last night? Or are we staying in shape for the calling? Are we staying in shape? Okay. Jesus quoted out of Deuteronomy when he was, and this is in Matthew 4:4. He says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And I thought about that, how with my marathon training and all the different things that I've done in the past, that bread was very important. The night before you run a marathon, you carb up. You eat pizza, you eat pancakes, you eat spaghetti, you do all the different things. And by 18 miles, you've used that all up. With God's kingdom, He fills us up all the time and gives us strength to carry on. And that's available to us all the time if we're in training. I'm not sure that He just shows up and fills us up. I think he puts things in our path, maybe a little bit of doubt about our circumstances, a little bit of doubt about our health, our finances, whatever it is. And something inside of us says, I got to get in shape because there's a battle coming. Now, we can join in that battle. We can be part of what God's doing here on earth, or we can sit on the couch and eat Oreos and watch the whole thing go down and probably still make it into heaven. But are you going to participate in God's kingdom? And that's a big if. Are you going to do this? Made a note here. Am I getting my nourishment? Do I stay on track reading the Word, praying, worshiping the Lord? Do I push myself a little further each day to stay connected in God's purposes? Do I partner with like-minded Christians? That's kind of the idea of this, where we're running. We've got like-minded people. There were people on my porch at 4 in the morning pounding on the door, said, get up, when I didn't feel like getting up to go run. And I wouldn't have if they weren't on my front porch. It's good to have people in your circle, your friends, acquaintances, that are going to call you on this. They're going to say, hey, where have you been? I'm kind of worried about you. Everything okay? Come on, let's go have a cup of coffee. I'll see you at the men's group on Friday night. Those encouraging things keep us in tune and keep us, like the marathon, getting ready. Because we can certainly not be ready if we want to opt out. Am I staying focused? I didn't highlight this, but one verse that stuck out to me in Philippians 3:13, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, I'm guilty of this, of recalling the past, the past mountaintop experiences, the past good things, and then maybe comparing that to my life today and going, well, you know, things have really gone downhill since then. I'm not doing that. I'm not participating in that. And I've got, like, past ministries. What if you had a ministry that was booming and things were going great, and now, not saying anything about this church, but now your ministry is it's not doing too much. Or you're not even in a ministry. You're not allowing God to use you in any way. Past relationships. There's a good one. Boy, I would, you know, I almost said girlfriends or boyfriends, but when you start doing that, the present day sometimes can look a little glim, a little gloomy, and then your day goes downhill because you're thinking about that old girlfriend or that old whatever it is. How about business accomplishments? Say things aren't going as well as they were back then. All these things will start bringing you down the road to where you're sitting on the couch eating Oreos and just going, I guess this is life today. Well, for me personally, life has changed a lot since I first got saved. When I first got saved, you couldn't shut me up telling anybody. The guy at the gas station, the guy behind the counter, the person at church or wherever it was, I needed to tell him about Jesus and what he has done. Because when I got saved, I was actually angry because no one told me about that God loved me and forgave me. Nobody. And I'm making up for that today. I was on fire. And then I got a little bit more refined and things settled down and you kids and whatever you do. God brought us back out of that and got us into a ministry. But it's easy to do those things. How about past Holy Spirit experiences? Things that have happened in the past where the Lord showed up and did miraculous things. And now maybe in your life, I'm not saying anything about this church, but in your life, that's not really happening, say. And so I'm kind of gloomy. God's not using me anymore. Well, stop eating Oreos. Get off the couch. Get in shape. Start raising your hand. Yeah, pick me. I want to be part of this thing. I want to be part of whatever you're doing here, Lord. Some of you guys are in the last Friday, and I'll share that again about the body. Some many years ago, there was a pastor who was talking about the body of Christ and how we're all members and essential in the body of Christ. And I had this picture of a puzzle, pretty good sized one. It was on a card table, and the perimeter was all done, a little row of pieces all the way around the puzzle, and it was done. And as I looked at those pieces, when they fit in, there was no line around them. They fit in like flesh. So you take a piece that was out in the middle, like you do. You have all these pieces out in the middle. You take that piece and you find that where it goes over here, and you fit it in, and all of a sudden it's not an entity anymore. It's part of the whole thing. It's part of the body and essential because everybody, it was like when that piece fit in there, the rest of the perimeter just went, something fit. I feel better. I feel more complete now. So those pieces out there that were face up are the ones that are saying, pick me, Lord. I want to fit. I want to be part of whatever you're doing in this kingdom of yours. There were others that were face down. And I never really figured out too much about them other than the fact that they were face down and they weren't saying, pick me. I'm guessing that they were probably saved. They're in the body. But they're over there eating Oreos on the couch. Saying, you know, I'm fine. Don't pick me. But the ones that were picked fit. And not only the people, the church around them felt more complete, they felt more complete. because now I'm part of the body. I fit. This is my place in God's kingdom. And it's part of this pressing on. Are you going to press on into God's purposes and raise your hand and say, pick me, Lord. I want to fit. I want to have a part in this. Some of us are getting up there. I figure if I've got my time is from noon to midnight, I'm somewhere around 10:30, 11, and come midnight, I'm out of here. But God's not giving up. I'm saying, pick me. What do you have for me? My last hours here on earth. I went to a funeral last Thursday or whenever it was. And the guy was very well known, very professional, very successful. A lot of people there with smiles on their face, drinking their wine and cheese and talking about what a great guy that was, but not one word about heaven, not one word about God, not one word about salvation, not one word about any of that thing, of that. And as I left, I thought, unless there was a last moment change of heart, that guy is done, unfortunately. There was nothing, there was no, you know, we go to some funerals around here and we're actually celebrating. They made it to heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven to see him or her. No one was saying that. It was over with. I felt really sorry for her because it was over. We want to be pressing on to the last second into God's kingdom. I got put a note here. If we don't listen to the words of Paul and forgetting what is behind, we'll soon be left behind, because God is a God of new beginnings, new relationships, new challenges. And he's always setting us apart to participate in his kingdom. He's always doing that. We were talking with somebody the other day how God's is, he can't stop. Maybe it was at the men's thing. I can't remember. God can't stop creating. He's a creator. He's just doing something all the time. And some of us feel like, well, you know, I'm that piece of the puzzle that's face down, and I think God's going to pass me by. Well, I think he's challenging us tonight to raise our hand and say, hey, pick me. I want to fit into the kingdom. I want to find out how I work in this thing. And maybe some of us have been in that position and we've kind of pulled ourselves out for one reason or another. I think the challenge tonight is get involved in the kingdom. Get involved in God's purposes. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter how old you are, or how much money you have or you don't have, God can use you in such awesome ways. I don't know how many of you leave your house and go, Lord, what do you have for me today? Who do I get to talk to? Maybe nobody today, but maybe there is somebody. Maybe I get to help somebody. Maybe I get to call somebody. I don't do that too much anymore, but I used to have, with my business, I had hundreds of names on there, and I'd go through my call list and say, who do you want me to call today, Lord? Go down, call some of them and say, hey, leave me alone. Quit bothering me. And others would go, oh, yeah, man, I've really been struggling here lately. If we're not careful, we start listening to all the nonsense that's going on around, all the lies. You know, you get on the news and it's nothing but that. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, I kind of feel that way about myself. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. That's being in the kingdom. That's being building yourself up in the kingdom. Inwardly, you're being renewed day by day. That's what happens when we're here. You know, you may not feel like that tonight, but that's what you're doing. You're getting filled up. You're getting some strength. You're getting some encouragement. And I don't know about you guys, but the last month or so, it seems like the Lord has ramped up the encouragement from the pulpit. There's got to be a reason for that, folks. Are we just hearing some great preaching and we go home and eat Oreos? Or are we taking this to heart? Somebody texted me last night. I hardly know the guy. And he said, God's on his way. That's what he said. And I wrote back and I said, I'm ready. Let's be ready for what's going on. Don't we get that by studying Scripture, attending church gatherings, and I'm not saying church in itself is the answer, but the body of believers is important to hear the Word. Going to Bible studies, participating in outreach ministries, sharing the good news wherever and whenever the Lord directs. So, in closing, if you don't know it, running a marathon is really hard. It's really hard. I ran 9-minute miles for 26 miles in 385 yards. The guys that won had showered, shaved, and had dinner by the time I came in. They were running, they're now running 4-minute miles on marathons. Think about that. Does anybody run in here can run a 4-minute mile? Probably not. And probably not for 26 miles. Those guys are in shape. But, yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with them. It's when you get, Dennis was saying, once you get a glass of milk with it, then it becomes a problem. So here's Matthew 16:24. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I think that's the gist of tonight. Are you pressing on? Are you raising your hand saying, yeah, I want to participate, Lord, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do this thing. I believe it's really, really important because I just don't think things are going to get any better. I don't care who's in Washington. We better be relying on who's on the throne for everything. I just went on to say how tough the marathon was, and let's not think that getting in shape spiritually in shape isn't going to be difficult too. It's always challenging, and Satan's always laughing and always taunting and always pulling you away with a new batch of Oreos out there that get you distracted. Keep on task and be what God wants you to be. God will guide you through all these stretching times. And I wrote that down. He'll guide you through these stretching times in order for us to finish the race and receive the prize. And I just thought, I remember years ago somebody talking about, I heard that word, that boy, I'm being stretched. And someone else said, what do you mean by that? And the guy said, well, I'm just feeling pulled and, you know. And he says, well, maybe you need to let go of something and it won't be stretching so much. So, yeah. So anyway, that's my deal for tonight. I hope that pressing on, get Bob Dylan's, listen to it. It's great. Pressing on to the higher calling of the Lord. He didn't quite get it, but the song is pretty good. And the words that the Lord gave us tonight are forever. They don't come back void. And they're truth, and we can apply them to our life. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Pray that there's some golden nuggets in there that we can apply to our lives and get our nourishment from, not from the nourishment of the world, but your nourishment, Lord. And we thank you for that and give you all the praise and the glory. Amen.